Well, the word for today, the final Sunday of our four-week pledge theme, Live a God-Pleasing Life, it comes to us from 2 Corinthians, as we heard where Paul, after words with much conviction and commitment and understanding of the faithfulness of God toward him, he says, "Thanks be to God for God's indescribable gift, and that gift is Jesus the Christ." Now today we look at generosity, and our previous weeks have been faithfulness, discipleship, and service as an expression of love. And today we look at generosity as the hallmark of a life of discipleship, a life of stewards of God's grace and abundance. And there's a story that's told about a man who wanted to come to America, to the United States, and so he got together all the meager funds that he had, and he checked on the price of a ticket to get on a steamship that would take him to New York Harbor. And as he prepared for his journey, he made the decision that what he would do, he made the decision to do the trip. And so he bought the ticket. And then as he's thinking about how he's going to manage on his meager funds that he had saved over a number of time, he said, "Well, you know, what I'll do instead," because he had heard about these extravagant meals and he didn't know how he was going to afford them. So he figured out, okay, it's this many days on the ship, and if I get crackers and cheese, they'll last me. And I need this much crackers and cheese in order to give myself, you know, some substance for the trip. And I can get there and I'll still have a little money left over when I arrive. And so he did that, you know. And you see, as luck would have it, The sea air made the crackers all soggy. Some of his cheese got hard. Some of it went rancid. And so he was really in a quandary. Oh my gosh, how am I going to make it through? And then what really, though, put the icing on the cake, as it were, this waiter walked by with his tray full of this delicious smelling food. And the guy said, "Oh my gosh, you know, how much," he dig into his pocket, "how much money do I have? That food is just too good." And so he figures he has enough money, he can buy a meal. And so the next steward, the waiter who comes by, he asks him, he stops him, he says, "How much, sir, how much does it cost to go to the dining room and sit down and have one meal?" And the waiter, he kind of looked at him in his puzzled look, and he goes, well, sir, do you have a ticket to be on the ship?" And he goes, "Well, yeah." He goes, "Well, the meals come with the ticket. All the meals come with the ticket." How many of God's people are living as crackers and cheese Christians? We're willing to settle for something. We may survive on it. We may get by, but all the while that we're subsisting on crackers and cheese, there's this wondrous feast that has been prepared and provided, meal after meal after meal, and it's served up to us as God's people to receive the richness and the large portions and the bounty of God's grace, of God's forgiveness and God's love and everything God has to give. Now, for those of you who have been on a cruise ship, I haven't, but you know that the meals, you know what they can be like, right? I hear all these stories about, oh my gosh, the food is great. You know, they not only they have the breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but then they have snacks in between the meals. And then they have snacks or meals to prepare for the meals. And then they have late night snacks. And it's like, oh my gosh, you know, they bring everything out, I guess, for the late night snacks. If you have any room left or eating, you know, that you can enjoy it then. But crackers and cheese, huh? Crackers and cheese. Who wants to eat crackers and cheese all the time? Nobody, not all the time. Even if you love crackers and cheese, right? And they might be good, but regardless of that, you see, the point being that God is a wondrous, generous giver. God makes a feast for us every single day of our lives. And we can take in all that God has to give us in the way of God's grace and God's love and forgiveness for us and so much more, because we can take that in because God also provides for us in ways that we often forget, that we take for granted. God provides for us our food, our clothing, our shelter, so that we can be able to afford those things. And then We can take those cruises, right? God provides it all. God truly is indisputably the most generous giver of all. In fact, here's a word from our theme for today, right? It's a hallmark of God, God's generosity. God gives us so much on a daily basis in such a way that we can't help but see that God has put it there in front of us. He put it there for us. You know, it's not for someone else. Or it's just to say, you know, it's for me, it's for you. It's so that we can share it. It's for all of us so that we can share it. And that's where the generosity begins, you see. A spirit of reflecting God's light. A spirit of sharing God with others. A real sense that God has richly blessed us and all of us. Generosity can therefore be our hallmark too. We've received everything we need for this life. We have feasted on God's word, on God's sacraments, and thus we're able to respond eagerly and joyfully by giving cheerfully and generously to those around us. God's love, seen in God's giving, especially in giving of God's Son, motivates us to show our love through our giving. The Israelites had feasted on God's goodness. God had led them out of Egypt, laden with the wealth of their former masters. God sustained them through years of wandering in the desert, right? And then it came time to build the tabernacle. And Moses asked for their offerings. After been wandering in the desert for 40 years, right, we're told. And the Israelites gave generously, as they had been generously blessed. In fact, their response was so overwhelming, they had to be restrained in their giving. Generosity became their hallmark. In Exodus 36, we read, "Then Moses gave an order, and they sent this word throughout the camp. No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary." And so the people were restrained from bringing more because what they already had was more than enough to do all the work. And hundreds of years later, as we heard from 1 Chronicles about David, King David embarked on a similar project, the building of the temple in Jerusalem. He set the example, giving of his own personal treasures, and the people followed suit, along with great rejoicing at the willing response of their leaders and their own ability to give. Quoting from Chronicles, "The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly." Again, the hallmark of their giving was generosity. And then we come to the time of Jesus, and we hear the story of Zacchaeus, a tax collector, right, who loved money. He loved money. And when Jesus changed his heart, then Jesus, the Christ, became the love of Zacchaeus' life. Rather than hoard his money, he gave much of it away to those in need. Zacchaeus astounds us with his amazing generosity, right? A change so complete, we know it had to be the work of Jesus. For here was a man whose money was his God. Right? As a chief tax collector, he had cheated people, all kinds of people, out of their money. Generosity was the hallmark as he gave half of his money away to the poor. He now saw money, you see, as a tool that could be used for good. Money was no longer an end in itself. And through his giving, he was honoring, he was praising Jesus. His giving was an outward expression of a changed heart. And then there was the widow who gave all she had. Many of you probably know that story. You know, she didn't give like the others from her surplus, but, well, because she had no surplus. She had nothing left. But she had God's gift of faith to trust in Jesus for her next meal, as probably. She relied on God's promise that God will never leave us, will never forsake us. Generosity was the hallmark of all these responses. And it was made possible because these givers knew that all that they had came from the hand of God. David prayed, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. Wealth and honor come from you. We give you thanks and praise your glorious name. Wow, what a prayer. What a prayer. The prayer of those who are committed to respond as they have been blessed. Now later in our service, we are going to have the opportunity to make our financial commitments to God through our church as we bring our pledges and offering forward. It's a real giving, but it's a symbolic giving of your faith, of your response to the generosity of God in your life, that you have a way of returning that. For it is through our giving we express our gratitude to God for who God is and what God has done and continues to do for us. For giving is an expression of thanks, of trust, and love. In the biblical accounts about giving that we've just discussed, people gave whether they had much or little. They gave. For giving begins with the heart, and it reaches to the pocketbook. It reaches to our funds. For giving has always been a part of the Christian way. It's by God's grace that we become generous and cheerful givers. So I'll close with a story that you, I don't know if you've heard this before, but the story is told of an irate parent who phoned her little boy's Sunday school teacher, and she was really angry. I mean, she couldn't believe it. She said, "Is it true that you told the kids, including my son, that they're crazy?" She demanded this answer. And the teacher gave her one. The teacher gave her an answer. She said, No, I didn't tell them that they were crazy. But I did tell them that they all needed to be committed. Crazy or not, I pray that for us. I pray that for us. I pray that we will be committed. I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. I pray that we will show that commitment to Jesus, to the cross, and to his love, and for his working in our lives. May we be granted by the power of God's Holy Spirit to accomplish God's purpose. And may people see that it's indicative of our lives, that the hallmark of God's work in us is that we are generous people. Let us pray. Dearest God, Creator God, you've told us that we are your workmanship through Christ Jesus to do good works, which you prepared in advance for us to do. Oh God, don't let us miss even one opportunity to use our time and our talents and our treasures so that you might accomplish your purpose. Keep us mindful that you have given each of us unique and ordinary gifts, all of which you can and will use for your kingdom. Let generosity be our hallmark also, as we eagerly give of our time, talents, and treasures. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.